Hello world, welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this July 17th, 2025. Have your host James here. We're joined right now by our good friend Matt Lippert, Ag Agent with UW Extension Wood County. We appreciate you being here, Matt. Always a great time being able to talk with you, catch up on the ag industry and some of the news going on over there. Got a couple of things we're going to get into when we have a chance. If you don't mind, I would like to start with the so most know right now that there's a mandatory milk testing going on for our dairy farmers involving the avian flu. And a recent farmer survey suggested a potential slowdown in dairy and farm losses possible. I don't know how much you want to touch on that or how much you even can, Matt. I don't want to throw that at you. But I was really curious about this process and how the milk is tested and what it is from the farmer's perspective on this.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, milk is just about everybody, at least at some point of their life, drinks milk. And then they eat other dairy products, a very high percentage of the population. And so it's important that people would be confident in the milk supply. And I think the dairy industry gets it out that there's abundant reason to be confident, but it's so important to people's life, I don't know if people realize. So every load of milk that leaves the farm is tested. Now, the farmer may be doing some on-farm things for their own management, but every load is tested by whoever accepts that milk. So in Wisconsin, a lot of it is cheese plants. So the classic ones are farmers get paid on the butter, fat, and protein content in their milk. They get monitored for the bacteria count. Milk would grow bacteria. It's such a good food source that it really would grow things.
Yeah.
And so every load is measured for that. And then the one that people don't realize is that because a lot of people buy organic and they're concerned about antibiotic residues, but every load of milk is tested for antibiotics, and it's a very severe penalty on the farm if they put milk out that had antibiotics in. So the actual, it's like under a hundredth of a percent. It's like three more zeros after that of milk that actually is. Okay, so this bird flu test is just an addition to that. And I think the thing that's interesting, again, it's not happening on the farm, is Wisconsin is the second largest dairy state in the country, and we have not had any bird flu detected in our milk. And I think there is this bias, well, it's because we're not testing for it. I think farmers even believe that. It's like, once we start testing for it, it's going to show up. But that's not been the case. I don't know, we could go quite at length why that may be, but Wisconsin has, we've had bird flu in poultry, but not in dairy cattle in our state.
Yeah, and being blunt, and again, just reading from the articles that I've read, I don't actually know anything. I'm just reading what I, going off of what I've read and the research and everything. I feel like we would know. If it was, there's some pretty heavy results from this when you catch bird flu and some of these things from avian flu, from what I'm seeing at least.
Yeah, so I think the testing when a cross species into cattle, it happened in the panhandle of Texas, which there's a number of very large dairies there, and it was very. The penalty really was the farmers. They had very sick cows. They lost milk. The cows weren't going to recover. And so there is, we call it zoonosis, zoonotic disease, if something transfers from an animal to humans. And there were people milking cows that got irritated eyes. So it was actually splash of bacteria-laden milk when you're force dripping the milk to make sure that cow's milk is healthy, it would directly in contact people's eyes.
Oh,
so we've had very little, very little of a consumer or even on the farm other types. Now the concern is this stuff could mutate. It could, and I think I said bacteria, but viral, but. So there has been potentially some respiratory conditions, but for the most part, there's been very little human transfer. So actually, a lot of the testing, and then the other thing was milk is pasteurized. So there's a lot of safety steps that go in.
Yeah.
So the largest implication for farmers is that it can be really hard on their cows. You know, so it's kind of internal industry concern.
Yeah. Interesting. And thank you so much for that breakdown, Matt. I really do appreciate that. There's a lot there that I haven't found in articles or anything. So I appreciate you sharing that. And just something that we're certainly going to keep an eye on. I think for most part, most people are in agreement with, hey, better safe than sorry with most things. But there is a line in the sand for that, I think also. So getting that information, talking about that, I think is where we go, what we do around here. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. One other article I came across that I wanted to get into with you, and I got this from Wisconsin Ag Connection. You can find it yourself there, wisconsinagconnection.com. According to the USDA's National Ag Stats, Wisconsin had an average of 4.6 days suitable for field work during the week ending the previous week. So rainfall across parts of the state caused delays for some things, but we are seeing some increases. We're seeing some positives here when it comes to Wisconsin crop conditions remaining mostly strong in July. Is that what you're hearing from your colleagues and others?
So as an extension educator, I'm one of the reporters in that system. So once a week I get the question.
I was wondering.
What is the status of the corn? Poor, fair, excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get asked about corn, soybeans, wheat, oats, pasture, hay, potatoes, which I don't respond because I don't work with potatoes. But we have pretty good crops this year. And when I get asked this from other people, I say, well, compared to last year, because I have difficulty getting to Wisconsin Rapids these days because I live in Pittsville, mm-hmm. and Highway 73 is closed.
Yeah.
So I appreciate
you making the trip.
Well, when I knew I was aiming kind of the southern end of Rapids today for WFHR, I came in through the cranberry country.
Mm.
But normally I'd be veering north, so I get to see lots of different crop situations. Up in that heavy country in the northern part of the county, not everyone is saying, gosh, is this wonderful this year, because it's been really, really wet. I don't know if you mow your lawn, you might have noticed that the grass is growing really, really well.
Yeah.
Even here on the sandy soil. So that's kind of it. If you're a lawnmower, if you're mowing all the time, that's a good sign for plant growth, because there's a lot of water near the surface. But people trying to make hay, people trying to do tillage, that's when it says 4.6 days suitable for work. That the normal hindrance is it's raining. And then on our heavy soils, it takes days after a rain event before it gets dry enough to go back out.
Hmm.
So it's on the wettish side, but the crops in general are doing pretty well. It wasn't really wet early in May, so the crops got in roughly when they were supposed to get in.
Hmm.
And we've had some pretty warm days, which have been stressful on our cattle, but not too many. So in general, the start of the year, and I keep on saying last year it was also a very wet year, and the crops actually didn't get in. So it's better than that.
Yeah, which is certainly a big part of not only that industry, but business in general perspective. That goes a long way, just in general. Matt, wanted to wrap up talking a little bit about the state budget that just passed. We're going to be talking about, we have Senator Testen in tomorrow. I'll be talking with him quite a bit about this as well. But I couldn't resist the opportunity to talk to both of you in back-to-back days regarding especially your industry and where you're coming from, why you're joining us here and everything, and representing the ag industry as much as you do at UW. And then, again, another article coming from Wisconsin Ag Connection for journalists. Shout out to Blake Jackson for the reporting. And just so you know where I'm pulling my main facts from and information from, the budget passed. And we had this quote from Michelle Ramirez-White, the government relations director for Wisconsin's Farmers Union. Quote, Wisconsin Farmers Union appreciates that lawmakers came together to pass a budget that reflects input from both sides of the aisle. There are several meaningful wins for here for family farmers, but also some disappointing losses. Have you had a chance to look at this, hear about the budget, Matt? And is there any feedback, any comments you have on it?
So Senator Teston actually came to our farm. We hosted a dairy breakfast in June and had a chance to visit with him. And he is actually on the finance committee, I think. So yeah. Very influential in doing that. And when he talked about a compromise, the Farmers Union press release there, in Wisconsin, it definitely has to be a compromise because we have a Governor Evers is a Democrat, and the both divisions of the Assembly and Senate are Republicans. And so they have to compromise, right? There's yep. not a choice.
That's yeah.
And so I don't think agriculture made the headlines so much as far as the Farmers Union saying they were disappointed in some things. Certainly, the institution I work at the University of Wisconsin, is about the same week that the big beautiful bill was yes. passed federally. And so that has pretty severe implications for extension, USDA, universities. And so there's a lot of uncertain, well, it's becoming more certain that there's budget cuts happening in that system. Mm-hmm. But the UW at the state level, it was bantered about just widely, big millions of dollars cuts to higher education, the UW being part of that, or increases. Mm-hmm. And they actually got some increases.
Yeah.
So that was a very much appreciated thing. In agriculture, I'd be curious to see further where the Farmers Union, in agriculture, we have a number of organizations. I belong to some dairy groups, and but the two main kind of lobbying groups are Farmers Union and Farm Bureau, and they would not say that way, but one tends to be more aligned with the Democrat Party, the Farmers Union, and Farm Bureau is the larger organization. Is farmers tend to be a conservative group, are more affiliated with Farm Bureau. So I don't think that issues in rural areas are things like infrastructure, roads, maintaining roads, mm-hmm. and things like that. Maybe some program like this, where's the money come to do this bird flu testing? Do we keep our labs open and so forth?
Right.
Yeah.
Just to kind of give more, a little more to this, because I think a strong thing you bring up there, Matt, is that ag didn't get a lot of the attention from this bill or a lot of coverage from it. As far as, and this is hit or miss with the audience. Everything is a case by case basis. As far as on the, assumed win side, Majors Conservation Programs receive some much support. The cover crop rebate program, the nitrogen optimization pilot program. They were granted a good amount of money. Those were some ones. Public health and education services, including the UW system, farmers' mental health programs, and free clinics also saw increased funding in some regards, and then other not. And on the other side of this, a compromise on childcare, which played a key role in finalizing the budget, including $110 million for per child monthly payments. We're seeing differences there. That we're not everything is coming through.
It's a real mixed bag.
It is, yes. It is. And that is, I think most people out there, we're all adults. You know how negotiating works. Mm-hmm. You're going to get a little compromise. You're going to get a little this, call it that. But the aftermath of this is where we're really going to figure out where these things end up, right? It's pretty hard right now for some of this stuff. Certainly budget cuts or just straight up cuts, we can talk about that and reference that. But other things, we're going to have to wait and see how they play out.
Things that affect the rural communities, again, would be rural school districts. And, it's pretty complicated formula about mill rates and so forth, how much they're actually allowed to tax or increase taxes. And so you'll see a lot of school districts, not just rural ones, go to these referendums. Mm-hmm. And so higher education did fairly well. But the The K through 12 system, I understand, got significant money for special needs children.
Yeah.
But not otherwise. And mm-hmm. so there was a prediction that there will be more referendums for rural school districts.
Yeah.
Which will be that farmers, by the definition of being farmers, own a lot of land, and that there may be tax increases coming that way.
On the other side of things, where I meant to get to here, just one last part of this. Despite the gains, some important programs were left unfunded. The value-added agricultural grant, food waste reduction grant, the meat talent development grant, Wisconsin local food purchase assistant programs, and the farm to fork grant program received no support. The total funding gap of these initiatives reaches over $7 million over 2 years. There was also a program supporting CAFO oversight, farmland preservation, rural broadband, and antitrust enforcement staffing were also excluded from the bill. So just the other side of these things as far as that goes. And again, so much of this stuff is that we're gonna have to wait and see where this goes. I don't know that much of it is going to be positive, but I don't know that we, any one of those programs, you can pick any one of them you want, and this is just me talking just for myself here. I don't see a positive to losing any funding, let alone complete funding, for any one of those programs. I don't see how that helps our ag industry, how it helps our farmers, how it helps the backbone of this state, let alone this country. To me, it doesn't. Mm. I hope I'm wrong. I don't mind being wrong. I don't mind being corrected. I just want to be proven wrong. I just hope I would rather be wrong on this one, but that doesn't seem like a positive to me. And again, you can find this complete article at WisconsinAgConnection.com. And if you want to reach out to Matt or any of our good friends at Extension, I encourage you to go to the UW Extension website. Matt, did you have anything else?
Yeah. So it doesn't affect me directly, but we, on the federal budget, there was basically elimination of what's called SNAP Ed. So that's supplemental nutrition education.
Yeah.
So I think you've had some of our FoodWise educators.
Yeah.
So those positions will all be eliminated. They're gone. There's no money. So then some of these state level initiatives you talked about was local food support. Mm-hmm. So that is right on that same vein. You know, how can we educate people how to eat better, you know, and local food is often considered part of it. And so you saw a loss at the state budget level there. So there's definitely, there definitely have been losses. And my SNAP Ed colleagues, we can't advocate for those things. I'm just stating the fact that they have been lost.
I appreciate you doing that. I don't work at Extension, so I can advocate for them, and I believe we should have them. I believe that they should be there and that we shouldn't have even had to talk about this. It's ridiculous to me. I don't look at money as a way of me getting more powerful and stronger. I look at money as a means to an end and a way to help things and an investment tool. And one of the greatest things we can invest in is our kids or our youth or people that need food or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And especially sharing of information, growing new farmers, growing so many different things that I could ramble about for days on. That's just me talking. That's just my opinion. But I feel pretty strongly about it. And I'm going to be talking about this with Senator Teston tomorrow. We're looking forward to that conversation. Matt, always look forward to talking with you. Thank you again for the time.
Thank you.
We will see you again real soon and appreciate all of you joining us for another edition of WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic here at WFHR.com.